ACB Legislative Seminar and President's Meeting, Artis Bazin. Even though I've attended 24 legislative seminars in Washington, D.C., and participated in many president's meetings, I always come away with useful tidbits. I've learned new information, which is important to affiliate leaders, as well as learning about specific legislative initiatives. Page 10. I was never disappointed in the array of speakers and topics shared. ACB was fortunate to have Google sponsor the events. Since all affiliates could not afford to have delegates attend, it was gratifying to learn that ACB Radio will have archives of the President's meeting and the legislative seminar, so members can learn more about those topics they'd like to explore. After introduction of participants at the President's meeting on Saturday, February 23, the first panel consisted of members from the Leadership Task Force who explained what had happened after the Summer Leadership Institute held during the ACB conference and convention. Follow-up calls occurred, and now a leadership training email list has been provided. Two upcoming leadership trainings are planned for March in Louisville and August in Missouri. Others are being investigated for the future. During lunch, Dan Dillon, co-chair of the ACB Resource Development Committee, moderated a panel on cultivating corporate relationships. Celeste Carrasco, director of federal public affairs at AT&T, explained that nonprofits trying to enlist support from corporations need to first understand their purpose and mission. Any possible proposal needs to align with their mission. Page 11. When you submit your plan, you need to include in a meaningful way what you want to accomplish, giving statistics if possible. You should explain the outcome you expect and how you will measure it. She suggested using local companies for local events and national corporations for national events and projects. This was a very meaningful session. It was suggested that contacts be made with the diversity or HR departments in foundations or companies. The next speaker, Sarah Conrad, president of the ACB Students, stated that Washington Council of the Blind volunteered to start an Adopt-a-Student program this year to solicit students and bring one to convention this summer. She suggested leaders should mentor scholarship winners so they will stay interested in ACB. She also encouraged affiliates to contact the winners in their states so they stay interested in the organization. Members should keep abreast of what is on the student website at acbstudents.org. Other involvement could be volunteering to serve on student affiliate committees or inviting students to state or special interest conferences. Most importantly, advertise your meetings on Facebook and Twitter. Young people are more likely to check these social networking sites. The next topic discussed was insurance, both bonding and officer-director liability. Page 12. Each affiliate should check with an insurance company specializing in nonprofit insurance. Most commercial brokers don't have the capacity to cover organizations adequately and likely won't even be interested. Lane Waters, ACB's controller, mentioned the three companies most likely to adequately insure your organization. He suggested finding a broker who has access to these companies and knows the correct questions to ask regarding the liability your officers and board need to cover. If your affiliate has employees, workman's compensation also needs to be purchased. Gene Mann, ACB Credentials Chair, then spoke about the ins and outs of credentialing, asking affiliates to please contact her if they have any questions or issues to resolve before the deadline. A panel about the changes in the ACB Braille form was highlighted. This year, half the issues will be larger and the other half will be digital. In this way, much more information will be available to readers. The issues will hopefully soon be available on the BARD system for download as well. The various awards given by the Publications Committee were mentioned. The final speaker of the afternoon was Joel Snyder from the Audio Description Project. Page 13. He outlined the various ways to get described movies, ordering through Amazon, the ACB website store, and in the theater. He advised that the more audio description is used, the more it will be produced. Members should ask their cable companies about accessing the SAP network for audio description. The first session on Sunday morning concerned the new database management system. In order for an affiliate officer to use the system to input information on members, the president of the affiliate needs to approve their application. You may have multiple administrators. Each listing has several fields in which to enter information. You can just list contacts as well as members and just note which ones are to be credentialed. If you have questions about the system and wish training, several members are volunteering to assist. Melanie Brunson, the ACB executive director, then asked participants to let her know if they have any advocacy experience in specific areas. Please contact her if you can assist, stating your history in that area. ACB office, phone 202-467-5081. The ACB fundraising committee gave updates on the various ACB fundraising activities, including the ACB Walk, the MMS program, and other projects. The final session was office hours, so participants could ask officers any specific questions. Page 14. The legislative seminar began on Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. First, all participants were introduced. Several first-timers were present. After opening remarks from President Mitch Pomerantz, Eric Bridges, ACB's Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs, introduced the first speaker. David Capozzi, Director of the U.S. Access Board, he discussed the hot-button issues of the blindness community relating to the Access Board involvement. One hot topic was website accessibility. The guidelines should be out soon. David Morrissey, Executive Director of the International Council of Disabilities, spoke on the future of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. He discussed the ludicrous myths being spread to the public about this treaty. He suggested sending representatives a link to the specifics of the treaty so they know what is included. Mitch Pomerantz then gave an update on the Accessible Prescription Project. Since the passage of the FDA Safety and Innovation Act, a group of organizations and agencies are developing guidelines for pharmacies regarding how best to meet the access needs of blind and visually impaired customers. Melanie Brunson ended the afternoon by explaining some of the legal issues in which ACB has participated. Page 15. She said even though the dates have passed to let SSA know of your format needs, you can still contact them to let them know if you need specialized formats. ACB is still working on the accessible currency issue and is waiting for the Treasury Department to end its request for input. Eric Bridges started Tuesday morning sessions giving highlights of recent ACB legislative successes. He mentioned the telecommunications bill passed in 2011 and the regulations which came out last summer. He also discussed the Quiet Car Initiative, which is developing the right sounds for them to use in the future. He congratulated ACB advocates for all the accomplishments we have made in the past few years. The next topic was the first legislative imperative for this year, the need for Medicare to cover purchase of certain low-vision devices. He explained the action to be requested would be a demonstration project for 5 years to look at the possible savings in assisting seniors with low-vision devices, which would likely keep them in their own homes instead of in assistive living facilities or nursing homes. The second imperative was then discussed, the need for comprehensive special education legislation. The Ann Sullivan Macy Act could be a standalone bill or added to IDEA legislation. Page 16. It would more closely monitor blind children to make sure they have adequate blindness-related training so they are ready at college age. Karen Peltz-Strauss, Deputy Chief, Consumer and Governmental Affairs Bureau, Federal Communications Commission, gave an update on the committee's work. The Deputy Chief of the Disability Rights Section of the Department of Justice talked on knowing your rights and working to find solutions. Artist Bazin told the group how the current budget crisis could hurt the Randolph Shepherd vendors throughout the country. Tuesday, most of the participants in the conference spoke to their congressmen and women about our issues. We strive to visit each office and speak to someone. If no one is available, we drop off a packet of information. I encourage anyone who hasn't attended these meetings to try to do so if possible. It is always a learning experience, even for those of us who have gone often.